Here's Mike McIntosh to begin today's edition of CNV with this thought on Christ's payment for our sins.
The law was taken care of by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as heaven is concerned, if you have asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord, and that means Lord Jesus, He's not only your Savior, He's your Lord. And since He's your Lord, you listen to Him and you live the life that He lived in the flesh to show you that you can be a good person by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
The six A's of walking with Christ. That's the title of our teaching today on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. Today we're taking part in a verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. We know from the first chapters of this book that Paul is forcefully making the case that all the world is guilty before God. It's also becoming increasingly clear in these passages that God's law, either in written or internal form, is unable to save man. This principle must be thoroughly understood and digested if we're to move on to the truths that Paul builds upon this foundational truth. Life lessons are ahead as we open to Romans chapter 7 and join Mike McIntosh.
Okay, so it's not bad to have a law, some restraining orders against us. Don't go this far or you're going to die. Because we saw two Sundays ago, sin, death, and over here was a group of people that had a price to pay. When you commit sin, it causes death inside of you, and there's a price to pay. You don't have enough to pay God. So He sent His Son to die instead of you, and when He died for you, and God raised Him from the dead, and Jesus went to heaven saying, I will return again. Now, one of the signs of the end of the age is that Russia, or the areas of Meshach and Magog, which is present-day Russia and Moscow. Russia is mysteriously, chapter 38 of Ezekiel, going to have a hook put in its jaw by God and pulled down out of the north into the Middle East. The word of God said that Russia would come down out of the north and enter, and a war would break out. America is not mentioned anywhere. A war would break out, and 5/6 of the invading armies of Russia and Libya and Iran and all the nations that are named that are circling Israel now are found in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel thousands of years ago. It's no accident. You're alive at this time. God wants you to be free from your sin so that you can help with the evacuation of planet Earth. Because something has to happen to the only known superpower in the world to allow Russia to feel the freedom that their military can take over the Middle East and capture the oil. Now, of course, off the coast of Israel, in the last several months, and last summer, there's quite a bit of news about this, they have found trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. They have found billions of barrels of oil in Israel. Israel is at a place that they could be, just like the Old Testament says, with God's hand defending them and no other man. It's very clear that the powers that used to help Israel can't help Israel, and it'll be God's arm that comes out of heaven. He's already got the Russians pulling in. 5/6 on the mountains of Israel. And to come from Syria, you have to go up the Golan Heights and come up onto the mountains. And coming from Lebanon, you have to come down the spine of the Golan Heights and those mountains along there. So it is very interesting to see how God could say something so many years before as a warning and then bring it to pass in our lifetime. It is exciting to know there is a future. It is exciting to know that God already sees it and that you can have a future by being new inside. So with an association of Jesus Christ, you begin to realize there is an aggression for sin taken occasion by the commandment, slew me. Where the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me? Good, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, and I'm sold under sin. He's now a slave inside of this world system. And the second point is the inclination of each nature being disclosed. Paul just wanted you to know that there are two of you fighting. In verse 15 to 17, he showed us, A, the activity of the two natures within you. So we look at verse 15, for that which I do not allow, for what I would, that's what I do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not do or should not do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but it is sin that dwells within me. So now we see the activity. You sit here today and say, I don't know why I do these things. I know they're not right, but the good things I should be doing, I'm not. The things I shouldn't be doing, I'm doing them. So it's a war going on inside of you. So he showed us the activity of the two natures. Then he gave admission of the frailty in verse 18 and the frustration of the flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good? I just don't know how to do it. I don't find that. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that's exactly what I find myself doing. And I'm supposed to be a Christian. Now, if I do the things that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but it's the sin that dwells in me. I find then a new law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he cries out, like all of you and me, in frustration. Read that out loud together, would you? Please, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's a great debater because he's going back and forth with himself, back and forth with God, back and forth with the law, and he's trying to show us that we come to the end of ourselves. There's no way we're going to live forever when we die. I thank God. Wow, what a great statement. He's admitted there's nothing that can release him, but I thank God. May I ask you a personal question? When was the last time in prayer or just verbally jogging down the beach or just driving in your car that you have used the words, I thank God, or I thank you, God? Just think how long that has been that you've been thankful to God, and that'll tell you how far away you are from him. I thank you, God, that there is no way out, and I ask you to come into my life. I thank you, God, for protecting me. I thank you, God, for loving me. I thank you, God, for giving me health. I thank you, God, for my friends. I thank you, God, for delivering me. I thank you, God, for forgiving me. Because the law has stopped us all, and we're all guilty. And even though you try to be a good person, there is this law of sin and death that's inside of you. And when you get away from the Lord, the sin and death starts to rear its ugly head. And the minute you stop and repent of a sin or ask God to strengthen you, that old nature is no longer in charge. The Lord's word is in charge, and you live by that. And the peace that passes all understanding comes into your life. So here's the last one. We saw the activity of these two natures. Then we see the admission of the frailty and the frustration of our flesh. And then he gives the answer is to be found in the Lord Jesus. As a human being, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That should just let you go, I'm free. You're free. You're free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. You're actually free. There's no condemnation for you. So when your mind starts bringing thoughts up of back when, you're free. I always say at those points, Lord, erase the tape by the blood of Jesus. Just, I don't want to think of those people. I don't want to think of those situations. That's the dead man's life. Take it away. And I was a classic person that lived today because of the failures of yesterday. I didn't see hope or tomorrow or where I was going. I just knew that I had so much bad in my life that I could never be a good kid. And I would never amount to anything. And I would always go back when an opportunity came, and I'd remember all my failures, and I'd just not show up. I wouldn't take the opportunity. And some of you may be in that same immature state. Because when God comes in, he opens doors for your life that no man can open. And he shuts doors that no man can shut. So now all I have to do is try the knob. I don't need to beat on it. I don't need to get my buzzsaw out and cut the door down. I don't need to get some C4 plastic and explode a hole in the wall to get through. If that door doesn't open, God doesn't want me in there. And I'm thankful for that because I went into all the wrong rooms. And now I know he's in charge of my life. He will never bring anything into my life that I cannot handle. And if my desires are in a locked room, I'm not going to worry about it. It went upon Jesus who died on the cross, and I'm free. The law was taken care of by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as heaven is concerned, if you have asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord, and that means Lord Jesus, he's not only your Savior, he's your Lord. And since he's your Lord, you listen to him and you live the life that he lived in the flesh to show you that you can be a good person by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever is in your past, say goodbye to it, that you are free. And those ropes around your anklet, the things around your neck holding you back, and all those things that you think there's a record of you somewhere, no, they've all been expunged. Jesus' blood just cleansed it all. And you are his son and daughter. Your father is excited that he is going to see you very soon. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Now, next Sunday, as we go deeper into verse 1 and 2 of chapter 8, I'd like you to read it over a few times, then read the whole chapter and get it in context of how free you are. But J.B. Phillips was a very well-known minister, and before he died, he wanted to have a Bible that was easy to read, easier than the King James, but that would have the characteristics of not a transliteration or a paraphrase, but that he would do good scholarly work in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there are times that I like to just read him to read him. So I'm going to read to you just an easy flow of what Paul was talking about. We looked at the information about our old nature, its association with Christ, our aggression that sin has against us, and the acknowledgement of the law in verses 4 through 14. Let me read that to you. The commandment gave sin an opportunity, and without my realizing it in verse 11, what was happening, sin killed me. It can scarcely be doubted that in reality, the law itself is holy, and the commandment is holy and fair and good, can it be that something that is intrinsically good could mean death to me? No. What happened was this. Sin, at the touch of the law, was forced to express itself as sin, and that meant death for me. The contact of the law showed the sinful nature of sin. Now, verse 14, all the law, we saw this is his inclination to each of us to see our nature, is really concerned with the spiritual. That's what the law is about. It is I who am carnal, and I have sold my soul to sin. In practice, what happens? Well, my own behavior baffles me, for I find myself not doing what I really want to do, but actually doing what I really hate. Yes, surely, if I do things that I really don't want to do, I am admitting that I really agree with the law. But it cannot be said that I am doing them at all. It must be sin that has made its home in my nature. And indeed, I know from experiences that the carnal side of my being can scarcely be called the home of good. I often find that I have the will to do good, but I don't have the power. That is, I don't accomplish the good that I set out to do, and the evil I don't really want to do, I find I'm always doing it. Yet if I do things that I don't really want to do, then it's not I. I repeat, I in parentheses. When I come up against the law, I want to do good, but in practice I do evil. My conscious mind, my wholeheartedly endorses the law, yet I observe an entirely different principle at work in my human nature, and this is in continual conflict with my conscious attitude. And it makes me an unwilling prisoner to the law of sin and death. A prisoner. In my mind, I am God's willing servant. But in my own nature, I am bound fast, as I say, to the law of sin and death. It is an agonizing situation. And who on earth can set me free from the clutches of my own sinful nature? I thank God there is a way out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen to that releasing verse 1 of Acts 8. No condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation, no dark cloud that hangs over the head of those who are in Christ Jesus. For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ Jesus lifts me up out of that old vicious circle of sin and death. You're free. Absolutely free. Free. Yeah, good. Our Lord, our Father, we thank you that we are free. We just are amazed at how the law has been put down and how that even with Moses, he got angry at the sin of the nation Israel and destroyed the first two tablets that you wrote the Ten Commandments on. And if man is going to try to engage by enforcing the law through do's and don'ts in the churches, then it's not going to work out. But we thank you just for that one scene in the Bible that you said, Moses, come back, I will rewrite, bring me some new tablets. And because he is obedient, he finally submitted. And we see his flesh responding to the law. And so, Father, may we reckon our old sinful nature to be dead because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And may every man, woman, and child, hearing distance of my voice, realize that what went on in the past has been dealt with. God, you have already judged their sin. There is no warrant out for their souls because they belong to you in Jesus Christ. And Lord God, may you take the scars and the pain and the agony of what is in the memory banks here today and just let your peace take charge. And the good that people should do, they're not under a law of how to do it. May they be free to express themselves, not looking over their shoulders to get yelled at, or their hands spanked with a ruler, or some adult or parent in their childhood demeaning them and embarrassing them, or getting angry with them. The little things that stick in our hearts that when we get older, we rebel. Would you give freedom in the name of Jesus Christ? And as we're prepared to worship and our heads are bowed, I know there are some of you here and you didn't know about freedom. You're very aware of a law, of some sort of a spiritual religious law, but you didn't understand that you have a human nature and you have the ability to accept before you die God's nature through His Son. And today, if you would like to have your sins forgiven and you would call out to God, the Bible says, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and confess with your mouth, with your lips, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, you shall be saved. So if that is your desire, while everyone else is praying for their own condition or possibly for you, just say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need salvation, and I pray that you will save my soul. God, I don't have much to give you, but I thank you that you gave me Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, and I ask you to come into my life and bring eternal life to me. And give me the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, to be a spiritual person. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you've asked him into your heart, I'd like you just to look up at me and hold your hand. I want to remember you throughout the afternoon and pray for you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Are there any others? Don't need to run and hide. Yes, in the doorway, on my left, way back there. I see you, sir. Bless these dear people, Lord. Touch their hearts and their souls right now and set them free. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'd like to just ask those of you that just prayed, meet with me and some of the pastors over here. We're not going to ask you for anything. We'd just like to just pray for you and encourage you, give you a Bible if you don't have one. You know, it's an almost impossibility for Jewish people to accept Jesus Christ. But we were out this weekend at the desert, Friday and Saturday, and sharing at a prophecy conference at a synagogue with Messianic Jews that are so unique as people, just rejoicing in the Lord that they know they're Jewish, but Jesus is their Yeshua. It's just such a transformation in their lives. So here are these 400 or 500 people in the bottom auditorium of the synagogue praising Jesus, with a whole group of Jews up in the main sanctuary of the synagogue from Palm Springs area, and they're in the law. And I was thinking about, what a picture. The law is upstairs and the grace is downstairs. And they're being formal and traditional, and they're being radical and just shouting to the Lord. So much so that those upstairs ask if they could calm the music downstairs. Isn't that the law in the flesh, a great picture? I mean, we've always got this thing hanging over us. No, we don't. You're free. You're absolutely free. Enjoy your freedom in Christ. God bless.
As we continue our review of mankind's tragic and sin-filled history, we're reminded that God's purposes are not condemnation, but redemption. Repent and live were the words the Lord gave to the prophet Ezekiel, and that is the great thread of truth that we're following down the Roman road in Paul's writing in the New Testament. We'll move into grace-filled principles found in Romans 8 in our study next time. You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with a message titled, The 6 A's of Walking with Christ. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Finally, let me invite you to join us tomorrow here on Chapter and Verse when we'll continue our series through the book of Romans. At that time, Mike will present the message, Therefore, There Is No Condemnation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.